Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So, I wanted to do today's podcast on setbacks, okay? And setbacks are things that just come out of the woodwork. It's not what you're expecting. You didn't anticipate stuff like this to happen during your calorie deficit. Although I would always say disclaimer to anyone who's beginning a calorie deficit is that sometimes the unexpected will pop up, and it's just kind of showing you ways to deal with that. Doesn't mean that we have to live in fear that like the unexpected is only around the corner, because you'd be just living on your nerves if that was the case. But just in the event that the unexpected pops up, it could be illness, it could be grieving. For example, I dealt with a situation over the last few weeks where my godmother and my cousin sadly lost our battle with cancer. And that was something I wasn't expecting, because it was only sprung on us in the space of 4 weeks. It was a very aggressive cancer, and it's not something I was prepared to deal with. So it did take its toll on me mentally. And the most important thing in the world is our loved ones, and vanity or dropping body fat, that can wait. Okay, that can be put on the back burner while you work on looking after yourself, number one, uno, and also those around you. But before we get into that, I was actually sent a DM this week, and it said, "How is your hip injury?" And if you aren't aware, I got a hip injury basically from doing the 3-quarter marathon back. I think it was at the start of October or the end of September. I can't put my finger on the exact date, but it was basically kind of preparing me for the full marathon at the end of October. And I said, "If you know, if I can do this, I know like I can do the full marathon, because I'll only have to add an extra 10 kilometers." But I signed up for 3 half marathons last year, okay? Now, I didn't intend on doing that. Basically, I wanted to break the sub-2 goal. So run 21 kilometers underneath 2 hours. And I managed to do that on my third attempt. I thought I was going to get it in the fourth attempt. So in that case, I would have only ran 1 half marathon. But I let my ego get in the way, and I said, "No, I'm going to keep trying and keep trying." So on my third attempt, I finally got the sub-2 goal, okay? Now, bear in mind, I was also training for a full marathon during this period. So January last year up until October, I was training for a marathon. And I would recommend trying to throw in, a half marathon along your marathon training, just to kind of give you a taste of what it's like running a race, a competitive race. Not that you're going to win it, but just to get the feel for the atmosphere and give your body a taste of what it's going to be up against. So I thought it would be a smart idea to throw in a 3-quarter marathon 3 weeks before I ran the full marathon. Would not recommend. At that stage, you actually should be tapering your distance, which means reducing your distance, so your legs are fresh for marathon day. So what happened was, I ran the 3-quarter marathon and was delighted with life. And then I noticed then when I started running a few days after I gave my legs a few days rest, I started feeling a twinge in my hip flexors. So they're the muscles that basically connect your torso to your legs. And they were quite sore. They were really, really sore. And I actually had to stop running on the treadmill at one stage. And I was like, "This is not good." So the physio said, "Yeah, you definitely have an injury. You've sprained or strained your hip flexor. And I recommend you do not run until the marathon." So my anxiety was through the roof. I was in the process of trying to raise 10 grand for Irish Cancer Society, and how ironic that I was doing it for my aunt, who had passed the year before. And last month, my cousin and also my aunt's niece, Linda was her name, she was my godmother as well, passed from cancer too. So yeah, really, really unfortunate and very, very sad. So it's been just a kick to the teeth, honestly. It's been awful in the family, and it's been really, really sad. But I where was I again? So yeah, I was really, really stressed out that I wouldn't be able to do the marathon after, raising 10 grand for Irish Cancer Society, because that's obviously a charity that was very close to my heart. My aunt had died of cancer, and it still is very close to my heart, considering I just lost my cousin to cancer as well. So I managed to run the marathon, even though I was riddled with anxiety leading up to it. I didn't want to let people down who had donated all that money. But look, I managed to do it. I hadn't ran from the 3-quarter marathon until the marathon, and I managed to finish it. I did it in 4 hours and 46 minutes, and I was in pain towards the second half. It wasn't anything to do with fitness or being out of breath. I was just in agony. And I think you're going to be in agony anyway if you're running your first marathon towards the end of it. It was really, really tough. But I haven't ran since the marathon, and that's been 4 months now. So I remember I was out walking Now I couldn't walk for literally for about a few weeks. Never mind the injury. Like I literally had to pick my leg up and put it into my shoe because I didn't have the power to lift my leg up and put it into the shoe. Little things like that you take for granted after before you run a marathon. All right. So it was tough. It was really tough. And the recovery took a few weeks to feel back to normal. But the hip injury, like I didn't start feeling like when I would be going out and doing my 10K steps, I actually had to pull back on my steps because it was actually prolonging the injury and it wasn't helping it heal. So I had to pull back on my steps massively. So from walking 10K a day, 10K steps a day, and cutting it back to like 2 to 3,000 every couple of days, that was tough because I use my walks for my headspace, for my mental health, to get out and get some fresh air. And I felt like I had all this spare time lingering there that I didn't know what to do with. So I did feel like I had cabin fever, and you do take the ability to walk for granted. But up until I'd say mid-January, I was still feeling that twinge. Now, thankfully, it is non-existent now, and I think it's because I just didn't run. My physio said that I could start running at the start of January if I wanted to, but she gave me all these exercises to do, and I'm still doing them to strengthen the muscles in my legs because she did say it was due to a lack of strength in my legs. So I did start to neglect leg days leading up to the marathon because I was caught between a rock and a hard place. I was like, right, push hard in the gym and get my legs to be stronger. And then what happens is they're going to be so sore that I'm not going to be able to give it my all then in my long runs because my legs are going to feel quite heavy from the training. So I did learn so much. But anyway, someone had said to me, how's your hip injury? So at the moment, it's non-existent. I haven't ran. Who knows? It could crop back up now when I start to run again. But I will get back to just running for leisure. I won't be signing up to any races. I just want to run for fun. Like when I look back and I reflect back on 2025, which is when I dipped my toe into the running pool. Something I had never done before. I was never a fan of running. Like I was very, very impressed with myself. I was very proud of myself. I managed to raise 10 grand for Irish Cancer Society, again, charity that's very close to my heart. And I'd done something that I thought I wouldn't be able to do, which was run 42 kilometers. So it's something that I am very proud of. However, it did take up a lot of headspace. I remember how stressed I was leading up to the marathon because of my injury. It's very time consuming training for a marathon. Like I did find that I was neglecting the gym a little bit, definitely in terms of my legs. Just again, like I mentioned, I was trying to get that nice in between of training legs enough and then running enough too. It was hard to kind of balance both. But I do remember like how stressed I was and how time consuming the training was. So will I get back to running half marathons, another marathon? The honest answer is right now I don't feel like it. If I was to get back to running, I would honestly just be happy to do like 5 and 10 Ks at the moment. Maybe I might sign up to a 10K during the summer, but I do still have PTSD that if I do start running, I will start to feel that injury creep back in again. But I did the right thing. I refrained from running for the last 4 months, and I do think that has helped the healing massively. I know some people run competitively and they're absolutely addicted to running. They love it. They get such a buzz from it. They're part of clubs. It's like a lifestyle to them. But to me, that did just feel like a phase. I don't think I could do that year in, year out. I'm very happy to just go to the gym, lift weights, do stationary cardio, and just run for leisure now. I think if I was to take on any kind of long distance running again, I think a half marathon is the perfect distance. If not just, the 5Ks and the 10Ks. I did have a coach, his name was Jamie, he was absolutely brilliant. But just having to commit to like training 3 times a week and like making sure that you get your training in, because if you don't, you're going to start to feel like your stamina or your fitness or your progress will start to kind of like take a step backwards, and that's also more pressure as well. So yeah, at the moment I will just run for fun if I do get back into it, and just run for leisure and cardio and stuff. I don't think I'd be into running competitively. But anyway, back to just dealing with setbacks during a calorie deficit. So I am in the middle of a calorie deficit. I'm 9 weeks in, and up until 2 weeks ago when my cousin had passed, things kind of took a turn and I was very stressed. Obviously, I was grieving. I was worried about my cousin, my godmother, Linda. We weren't prepared for her to pass away. She was diagnosed with cervical and stomach cancer in mid-January, and it had started from her having a hole in her bowel, and she had some symptoms over the Christmas of just being kind of sick and unwell, but Never did we think it would be cancer. And unfortunately, she got sepsis from the hole in her bowel. So the sepsis was really, really bad. And I think that actually might have killed her in the end. I remember going up to visit her and she was just covered in ice packs, like her temperature was through the roof, her body was trying to fight off sepsis. It was really bad. It was very stressful for all of us. We were so worried about her. And then, on the, let's say for example, 3 weeks into it, we were told on a Sunday that she had a week to live. So you never think stuff like that is going to cross your doorstep ever. My mom had to deal with losing two sisters, three sisters, sorry. She lost three sisters in the space of 8 years. She's lost a brother as well. And she's had to deal with a lot of grief and a lot of loss, and having to see, your mother go through that is hard. And, obviously I've lost aunts, I've lost uncles, and that's why I ran the marathon for Irish Cancer Society. Like she lost our sister, our best friend Mary to cancer. Her sister Alice died. It was found in her post-mortem that she had a tumor in her lung actually, but she didn't die of cancer. And then our niece, who was just so healthy, like she was never ill in her life, she was never on any medication, she was never hospitalized. And this is what happens. Like it was just, you don't think it's ever going to cross your doorstep, and it really teaches you that life is so short and unpredictable. But we were told anyway, let's go back to, we were told that she had a week to live and we were all in shock. And obviously I was very, very stressed. I was in the middle of a calorie deficit. And when my Aunt Mary passed away, I was also in the middle of a calorie deficit, which was in 2024. And I remember coming onto my stories, I was documenting it week to week. And I remember saying, I'm actually going to put a pause on my calorie deficit. Because Mary, she was a widow, so she didn't have a husband and she didn't have kids. And she lived across the road from me and my mother, and she was my mother's best friend essentially. They saw each other most days, and they would do a lot of things together. So my mother and her brother like took charge of arranging the funeral, and obviously I drive, so I was giving people lifts to and fro. Like I was more heavily involved with the funeral arrangements, which is why I put a pause on my calorie deficit. I just wasn't my priority, to be honest. Being there for my family was, but Linda did have a husband and she had kids, and they obviously organised her funeral and all those bits. So I didn't have, I my time wasn't as scarce as it was with my Aunt Mary. So I did keep up the deficit, to be honest. I was so stressed, I didn't even have an appetite. So it's not like I was eating from stress. The hardest part about this was it was making time, or not even making time. I was so sad. I lacked so much motivation. And I know I always go on about don't depend on motivation, but this was in regards to anything, not even exercise. Like I'm talking about going to, I don't know, like I always love going out walking and going for a coffee. I couldn't bring myself to do that. Like dropping over to a friend or, getting errands done. Like I just had no motivation to do that because I was just so sad. I was just in shock, really. Like, it was hard to process. I still am trying to process it. It still doesn't feel real. So my biggest struggle was going to the gym, getting my steps done, getting cardio done. And I just had to say to myself, Enya, this is not a priority at the moment. Just eat good food that makes you feel good. Nothing to do with your calorie deficit. Don't be worrying about the scale. Vanity is not a priority right now, okay? Looking after yourself, looking after your mother, your family as well. Just being around people who are going through the same thing as you, and letting them obviously be around you also. That was what was most important to me, okay? Because if you think about it, these things, they take priority. Family is the most important thing in the world. And I say it to clients all the time who are going through stuff like this, whether it be them being sick or, they have a family member who could be in palliative care, just many similar situations. Fat loss can always wait. You can always pick up where you left off, all right? It's not the end of the world. It's not a race. I always say as well, like this is just a grain of sand in your life. It literally is. Imagine your life is like a beach. An event like this is a grain of sand. And it, family is so important that if the biggest thing you're worried about in a situation like this is what you weigh on a scale, like you need to give your head a wobble. And if your coach is trying to give you a hard time, during a scenario like this, you need to give their head a wobble, and you need to keep your head a wobble to be like, why am I working with someone like this? Okay, because they don't show any empathy, but you need to show yourself empathy. Okay, you need to look after yourself. And if that means, do you know what, I'm going to give cardio a miss this week because I'm just not feeling up to it, it's not about being lazy, it's not about making excuses, it's about just listening to your body and being kind to yourself. The cardio is not a priority right now, my fitness is not a priority right now. Helping myself and, you know, listening or I suppose doing things that are going to make you feel better. And sometimes that probably is exercise. Sometimes people might want to exercise because it makes them feel better. But with me, it was just about talking about Linda, you know, talking to family, talking to friends about Linda, talking to other people who have been through this. And, you know, there is no right way to deal with grief. There's not. And you have to just deal with it the way you want to deal with it. And if that means that, you know, maybe you don't want to talk to someone, maybe you just want to isolate yourself and deal with it by yourself, if that's your way of dealing with it, then so be it. I would encourage you to talk to people because obviously it's gonna help, you know. It's a proven thing to speak to other people, you know, and vent and stuff, and know that there is other people in the world that are going through exactly what you've been through, or have been through what you're going through currently, you know. So yeah, I just gave the cardio a miss. I went out to just get some fresh air, and I did do maybe some steps instead of 10,000. It might have been only 5,000. I have dumbbells at home, and I did two home workouts, and honestly, the weight just felt so heavy. Like, have you ever felt heartbroken? Like, if you had a really, really bad heartbreak and you just feel like your heart weighs like a ton of bricks. And, you know, usually those dumbbells I have at home, like, I'd have to do way more reps with them to kind of feel a burn because they're not as heavy as the ones in the gym. They felt so heavy lifting them because my body was just like, you're in grief mode and everything, you just feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. But I wanted to lift weights, I just wanted to stay in the habit. It was nothing to do with vanity. It was like, Enya, just try do something different today, even if it's 10% of what you usually do, just something. And what I would do is I would tell myself, okay, just get up and go for a shower, don't worry about the rest of the day. And then after your shower, you're like, okay, now go down and make breakfast. I wouldn't put the pressure on myself to, like, okay, make content, record your podcast, do this. That was all too overwhelming, what I was feeling, okay? That just was not a priority. It really does put things in perspective for you, when you're going through something like that. All of this, the gym, cardio, steps, scale numbers, you know, it's irrelevant when you're going through something like that. And do not put pressure on yourself to be like, oh, I'm going to fall behind, I'm going to lose progress. Like I said, you can always pick back up where you left off. You don't need the added pressure of fucking scale numbers and hitting step goals, hitting cardio targets, hitting macro targets. Like, you don't need that stress and that pressure while you're dealing with something like that. Okay? You can always pick up where you left off. And it really does put things in perspective for you. It really does, because it just shows you what really is important, and that's family, okay? And time, okay? You don't get that time back that you have with your family. And it's when someone passes away, I wish I would have spent more time with them. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. Now, I know this is kind of turning into a grief episode. It's not. It's just about how I respond to grief and, you know, showing you that if you are going through a calorie deficit and something like this happens, that it's okay to take a step back for a week or two. If you're in a 12-week deficit and 2 weeks of those goes to waste because you're grieving, so what? You're human, okay? And who is actually gonna, if you lose 12 pounds in 12 weeks and you can only do a 10-week deficit now, who is gonna notice a 2 pound difference on your physique? Honestly, who is gonna notice that? You won't notice it. The people outside won't notice it. The people, outsiders, don't know how much weight you're trying to lose, okay? Only you will know that. And you will be able to say to yourself, someone passed away in my family and I had to be there for my loved ones. Okay, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll throw the 2 pounds away. So be it. Okay, because again, family is what matters most in those situations, and spending time with loved ones, because that's when you learn to appreciate the most. I brought my mom away there for a night away to Galway because just to kind of take our minds off it and just kind of get a taste of reality again, or normality, I should say. And, you know, like, there was some moments where we spoke about Linda and it did get a bit sad, but it also makes me appreciate having someone like my mother who's still here. I'm very, very lucky to have my mother who is still here. And it makes you appreciate those who are still here even more. Spending more time with them, taking more pictures of them, taking more videos of them. And this is another thing as well, actually, and it's very It's very kind of on team with fat loss, all right? There's a lot of people out there who won't get in pictures because they're embarrassed of how they look, or they're insecure about their looks, or, oh no, I'm too big, I don't want to get in a photograph, look at the state of me and stuff. Honest to God, if you were to die tomorrow, tip wood, that's all your family will have left of you, pictures and videos, and you're afraid to get in those. That's all your family will have left of you. Okay, I wish I would have taken more pictures with my godmother Linda. I do have a few, but I wish I would have taken more. I wish I would have taken more videos with her. I don't think I have any videos with her. All right, so if you're shy, with photographs because you're self-conscious of how you look, I want you to think about your loved ones and think this is all they're gonna have if anything was to happen to me. And how heartbreaking would that be for like friends or family who don't have any pictures of you and them in the same photo? Because at that moment in time, no, I'll take the picture. I don't want to get in the state of me. No, I don't like how I look. Oh, delete that. Don't tag me in that. Face tune that or something. Like, honest to God, it's all people will have left of you. So get in the picture. Fuck what people think, because it's all your family will have left if anything happens to you. And if you have someone in your life who's afraid to get in pictures, remind them of that. Be like, look, Jessica or whatever your name is, if anything was to happen to you tomorrow, I wouldn't have a photo of you and me together. All right, will you please just get in this? I won't post it online. I won't post this video anywhere, but it's just for me. It's just for me to have. It really makes you look at the bigger picture, and it does make you appreciate the loved ones that you have still here. It really does, even more. And not to take time for granted. Like, I never used to go away with my mother. Like, I just, she actually used to always go away with her niece Linda, and her niece Linda's friend, and Mary would always go with them as well, who my auntie would pass as well in 2024, who I ran the marathon for. They would always go to Kilkenny for 3 or 4 nights, over the Easter period for the last 5, 6 years. And I actually went 1 year with them, I did, and that was their thing every year. And I feel so bad on my mother now that her sister is gone and her niece is gone, and she has no one to go to Kilkenny with. And I didn't bring her there, for that night away. We went to Galway instead, because obviously it would have been very tough for her to be in Kilkenny without them. But it just goes to show how much life can change over the course of a few years. So get in the photograph, appreciate your loved ones just so much more, because I look at my mother now and she's 69 in May, and I just keep saying to myself, Enya, you're running out of time. Not that she knows exactly when she's going to pass, and I hope she lives for another 10, 20 years. I really do, because I'd be lost without her. I don't know what I do. I don't even want to imagine that. But that's why I'm taking advantage of the time that I have with her now, and that's bringing her away. It's spending more time with her. It's being more patient with her. It's having a laugh with her. It's making memories with her, taking more pictures with her. It really does give you a wake up call. So if you are going through something similar, and you're in a calorie deficit, or you're in the middle of changing your lifestyle, it's not, excuse the pun, life or death. Okay, you can pick back up where you left off. You can still make mindful decisions. And if you don't want to go to the gym or lift weights, and that's not something you feel you need to do, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up over it. Okay, it's not like you've come home from work and you're just not arse going to the gym, or you're not arse cooking a meal. This is totally different. Okay, the body responds to grief. In terms of like individually, we all respond very differently to grief. And if your way of dealing with grief is, I just can't go to the gym, I cannot be in a gym setting at this stage, cardio is the last thing on my mind. Okay, maybe I'll go out for a walk just to get out of the house. That's fine. When it comes to food, don't be putting pressure on yourself to stay in a deficit. Maybe just pick better food options. And because eat good, feel good, eating greasy food and sweets and jellies and stuff like that, it is going to make you feel shit, and it is just going to add to you feeling shit anyway. Okay, so just picking better food, nothing to do with deficit or calories. It's just eat good, feel good, make better choices with food, and just try to remember to feed yourself, because if you want to take care of other people, you need to take care of yourself as well. Okay, and that's what I had to remind myself of. Enya, if you're going to do anything this week, just try eat your 3 meals a day. Fuck the calories, fuck the macros, just eat good food and just feed yourself, so you have the energy to at least get on with your day and do the bare minimum, even if that's all you feel like doing. Okay, and when it comes to cardio and steps and lifting weights, just do it at your own pace, whatever you can manage or feel like you want to do. This feeling will probably last for a few weeks, but you can just pick back up where you have left off. Now, this week, I did get back into a routine, and just to touch on the scales, okay? Your body will hold on to war, whether it's your time of the month, whether you had a really tough workout and your muscles are inflamed and water floods into your muscles to act as a healing mechanism. If you haven't gone to the toilet in a few days, like that's going to cause added scale weight because that waste is sitting in your digestive system and it hasn't gone anywhere. It's going to weigh something. Water retention can happen through stress, okay? It can happen through travel as well when you're up in the air, when you're flying and stuff, eating more carbs than usual. But in this situation, my scale only started dropping in the last 2 days, and that was from 2 weeks of the scale stalling, okay? I went from new lows every couple of days on the scale to this happening, and then it just stalled for 2 weeks because my body knew I was in grief mode. It knew I was stressed. It knew I was dealing with a lot, and that's how it responded. But I trusted the process. And then eventually, when I did start feeling like going out on walks more consistently, getting back into my gym routine once the funeral was over, building my cardio sessions back up again, it started dropping then the last 2 days. Okay, so trust the process. Don't be freaking out if you stand on the scale during your grieving period and it's up and down, it's up and down. That's normal, especially because I wasn't actually overeating. I was struggling to actually hit my calorie deficit or go over, I should say, because I just didn't have an appetite. But I did make sure that I ate 3 meals a day. And if I was going to snack, I was going to have something like fruit or something. But I knew those spikes weren't due to me overeating, all right, because I wasn't. But even if you are overeating, it takes months for body fat to accumulate. So it's only water retention. If you're eating more carbs than usual, your meal schedule is out of whack, your sleep schedule is off due to stress or grief, etc. That's all going to add to water retention, okay, and scale weight. So I trusted the process. I remained consistent regardless and did what I could. And then my routine started to pick back up again. There was structure back in my day again. And lo and behold, the scale has started to drop again, okay? It's now showing my true weight. So there was stuff happening underneath the surface all along over the last few weeks, but the stress and the water retention was just masking it, okay? So don't panic. Focus on your family, focus on yourself and your mental health and your well-being. You can always pick back up where you left off. Okay. I hope that's helped. If you're someone who is going through that currently, I'm sorry to hear that. And if this ever happens for you up ahead, hopefully not. That is just something that you can be aware of and just not to give yourself a hard time. Don't beat yourself up. We all deal with grief and stress in different ways, but look after yourself. Don't forget to feed yourself. And if you want to look after other people, you need to look after yourself first. Okay. Thanks for tuning in.